listening to a podcast on the Black Fur Network.
Episode 52, Madame Delphine Lalaurie. In the early 19th century, New Orleans, Louisiana was home to Madame Delphine Lalaurie. Married three times before she reached 40 years old, she lived a life of luxury due to her parents' and spouse's wealth, becoming accustomed to a particular lifestyle. However, one fateful night, a fire at her Royal Street residence would jeopardize her future in her beloved city. And now we'll discuss crimes like these. Hello and welcome to Crimes Like These with me, SJ.
Me, Paul.
And me, Sam.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. How are we?
Wow, what was that?
That was like Happy Valley.
Hello. Like Leeds.
It's like Leeds, isn't it? Yorkshire.
A-op. I want a sheep. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to offend any Yorkshire. I wasn't meaning that in a derogatory way. I just meant... Because I love York, we go there.
And it's, yeah, York's
it's
great.
Fucking beautiful. York's beautiful. It's one of my favourite places in the world. And I just mean because there are a lot of sheep around there.
Yeah. Yes.
You've got to be real careful when you say things on the internet.
Yeah, people can hear you now, Paul, yeah. Remember?
Yeah.
How are we? What we've been doing? What we've been watching? Any recommendations?
All of them.
Everything. Have we all watched that series
we all watched, weren't it? That documentary.
Oh, shit.
True crime on Netflix at the moment, blowing up again.
Oh, yeah. What was it called? Something about a secret.
Can I tell you a secret?
Can I tell you a secret? Yeah. That is fucking harrowing. That is the scariest true crime thing I've ever seen. Hands down.
It was not great. It did make me want to come off social media.
Yes.
Well, I would mostly off it anyway. But yeah, it's fucking terrifying. Imagine that could happen to anyone at any time.
I know, that's the thing, isn't
props,
it?
Props to that girl, Leah, with that file.
All three of them. The three girls that were the screen, man. Mm. Fair play to them. Because that, to me, I wouldn't want to go on television because there's fucking crazy people watch this shit. Yeah. Like, what if there's another crazy person out there going, I know what I'm going to do.
It gives other people ideas, doesn't it? Like, I know what you mean. But yeah, that girl Leah, the paralegal who printed everything off, and the file was like 12 inches thick, and she just like hands it to the copper and was like, there you go, is that enough to get him?
Lucky for like, a type A personality.
Were they?
So.
Well, no, they didn't give a shit, did they?
Yeah. Anyway, just... spoilers, this just say, if you haven't seen, can I tell you a secret?
Yeah,
maybe
watch
skip this
it.
Bit.
It's fucking great.
I realise that spoiler came really late, and I know that that annoys me, and I know people are going to be like fuming.
I'll put it in the timestamp notes, don't worry. I'll put it in there. There's a couple more. I think we talked about one before, American Nightmare.
I think we talked about that one on the
last couple of episodes. That was really good. And Lover, Killer, Stalker.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was good.
That was good as well.
I was not expecting that. No.
I was like, because I was messaging Sam and I was sending her like video reactions because I was like, I don't know where this is going to go. Like, I need to like record my reaction for Sam. Like, and I was just like, what?
Yeah.
What? Huh? What?
Yeah. I've never done that so much, I don't think, in a true crime documentary.
It was about twists. It definitely flip flopped. I like
and American Nightmare actually.
Yeah, and American Nightmare. Yeah, very similar. Yeah,
I watched a couple of documentaries, kind of non-true crime, on Netflix, and they were good. I know. I do like a doc in general. Last night we finished a documentary called Buried, which is about an avalanche that happened in like a ski resort in California, I think.
I've just added that Buried to my list, actually.
It's really good. yeah, actually managed to keep me awake, which so that's my kind of benchmark of what's good and what's kind of not. And then the week before, there's a lot of like snow orientated things on Netflix at the moment. We watched that Society of the Snow.
That's Oscar nominated. That's one of the Oscar nominations. That is.
Yeah, I've not seen. Yeah, that,
that was to
be really good.
Oh, that was really good. That was really, really gripping.
Yeah, I've got that on my list.
Alive's really good too, actually.
I've never seen that.
Oh, it's a great film.
I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah, it's the same. It's about that same plane crash in the Andes.
Yeah,
very good.
Nice. I've just binged the new Drive to Survive, which is the Formula One series on Netflix. Amazing. The politics and the drama. Oh, it's great. It's so good. They're all just big man babies. And if they're not winning, they're throwing the rattles out of the pram.
Yeah.
And they're grown. They're just grown. Yeah, it's hilarious.
It's be a good loser. That's important.
Yeah, I think so. It's admirable, isn't it?
I had
be
a
gracious in defeat, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, you know, the two main team principals, you know, Toto Wolff for Mercedes and Christian Horner, or Karen Horner, as people call him, for Red Bull Racing. Like, they hate each other. They're always at loggerheads. They're always going at each other and complaining about the other team. And I have a lot of respect for both of them. But on this season of Drive to Survive, there was one particular race from last season that Lewis and George Russell, who are the two Mercedes drivers, they came second and third. So that's podium. That's a podium, that is. You know, they do, you know, first, second and third. And Toto Wolff turned around and was like, we're not having a team photo because we're not P1.
Wow.
Wouldn't celebrate the fact that both his drivers were on the podium. And I thought, you absolute dick.
Yeah.
Like, that's awful. That's just unnecessary. Just unnecessary. Yeah.
One of those people that's all second place is the first loser.
Basically, yeah.
I mean, it is. That's true, but still good.
But they've got a podium. They've got a trophy. You know, they know it's contributing to their, you know, the Constructors' Championship as well. Both drivers on the podium. That's a massive win. Yeah. In my eyes, I got
a silver medal in a jiu-jitsu tournament once. I threw it away.
Did you? That's amazing. Yeah, you threw it away.
It was silver. It was fucking second place. Oh, no, not really. I've still got.
You don't know why I feel surprised about that. Like, it doesn't feel like it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's all I've been watching. That's about it. Yeah, and the true crime stuff that we've just mentioned.
Yeah. I've just got to say, because I'm super excited about it. As of recording right now, it's June 2 day tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love the little dance.
I'm
so
excited.
So cute.
I haven't been this excited about a film for so long. Like,
really?
I'm absolutely fucking buzzing about it.
Are you seeing it in IMAX?
No, because it was fully booked and I didn't want to wait another day. So.
Oh, I don't blame you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's massively booked. Like,
yeah, it will.
And they're doing a double bill with it tonight, actually. But they're starting the second one at midnight, and there's no
I was going
to
say that's long. The first one's
no way.
At least 2.5.
Yeah,
2 hours 40. Something
part
like
two
there.
Is 2:46, so it's longer than the first one by about 10-15 minutes.
Oh my god, I'd be delirious.
Yeah, well, I did the It double bill when part two came out.
Oh, did you?
It was horrific.
Wow.
Yeah. I was so tired during the second film. I was just... Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, terrible. I think I've only ever done a double bill of... It was Alien and Aliens.
Yeah, nice. Part.
Yeah. Wow. And Aliens alone is 2:30.
Yep. I've seen other double bills, but earlier on, you know, if they're older films. But it's like when they do the new release and they start this new one at midnight and it's just too much.
Yeah, the midnight showings are... Oh, I don't think I could do that.
No. Do you know, I actually forgot we were doing a podcast for a second then.
You're too wrapped up in...
Just talking about the cinema now. Yeah.
Well, we are doing a podcast. It's episode 52. And it's Sam's choice, and it is Madame Delphine Lallery. I really like saying that because it really rolls off the tongue.
It does. I can't say it, but it does roll off the tongue.
Yeah. I am
roll off mine very well.
Yeah. Well, premise that I am going to butcher the pronunciation of most of these names because I can't. I'm not a Brummy like Sarah where I can do Lallory. I'm like Lallory. Very Brummy accent.
I'm from Chatham, mate. Don't even get me started.
I will try my hardest, but yeah.
Amazing. Where do you want to start? It's completely up to you.
I'm going to start way, way, way back, as it was. But yeah, back sort of even a little bit prior to Delphine Lalaurie's upbringing, I guess. I have this is one of those cases, whatever you want to call it, that is like a lot of fictions kind of surrounds it. I have very much tried to get factual stuff, like things that were in that were reported in papers or documented, but obviously we will end up going into some of the fantastical stuff, but I have tried my hardest, but it is one of those. It's like the Bathory kind of genre of true crime.
It's gone through hundreds of years of word of mouth.
Basically,
so it's probably been blown up out of all proportion, which kept popping up in my mind because there was so many conflicting pieces of information.
So, Madame Lalaurie, born Marie Delphine McCarthy. So her family was originally from, like her historical family was originally from Ireland. And they were part of what was known as the McCarthy clan. And they were very wealthy. They were mostly like military operators, merchants, and they they had a lot of real estate as well, which led to an enormous amount of wealth. And then they left Ireland and they went to France, where the majority like enlisted in the French military, and then that's how they got the whole military background. And then from there, that they moved to New Orleans because there was a massive sort of like French takeover in New Orleans, and they settled there. So I think when they'd done this, so New Orleans was, it was mostly like marshland and
swamps,
huts, and it wasn't kind of what we know it as today. It wasn't all grandiose, and it really wasn't very densely populated either. So then a lot of the French settled there, and then it's kind of what's known as like the French Quarter, because obviously the buildings were built around.
The French Quarter was literally the center, and they built New Orleans around it.
Mm-hmm.
So Delphine's father was Louis, and he was one of 11, and her mother was Marie Jeanine Larable. There are so many names in this case where everyone's just got the same name. So it will no likely get really confusing.
Her kids.
Yeah.
They're all six of them.
It's laziness.
It is pure laziness, I think. Laziness.
Easy
way to remember.
Children. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, just shout the one name and one.
They all come.
So they had two children, a son who was Louis, we'll be surprised to know, and a daughter who was Marie.
Just point out that obviously King Louis was like the most popular king ever in France. So Louis was a very, very popular
name. Yes, it was.
But she pretty much went by Delphine, so I'm going to assume that's because of her. It got confusing with her mum. Maybe. But yeah, so she goes by Delphine. And she was born on the 19th of March 1787. So during this time in New Orleans, everywhere really, there was a lot of obviously like slavery and so on and so forth. But during this time specifically, I'm going to go into this because it's just theories around why she ends up kind of doing the things that we'll get into that she ended up doing. But there was a lot of mistreatment of slaves, which it's no shock to anyone. But the owners of the slaves at this time were very afraid of a slave uprising, or that they'll take back their human rights. They didn't want to lose like ownership of these people that had done everything for them.
They were outnumbered, weren't they? There was something like 3,500 slaves, but only something like 1,300 slave owners.
Yeah.
And they were always worried about an uprising. So it makes sense. Yeah.
So they, I'll use this term very loosely, but they were given some extra rights than they kind of had been given before. So there was like kind of laws in foot, and I use the word very loosely. Laws around like mistreatment, like you can't be seen to be mistreating them. You have to make sure that they're well fed, well clothed, well looked after. They were able to go out and earn their own money outside of the hours that they were in your employment. So they did, they had some rights. This, again,
it is very loose, like you say,
But
interestingly, also, this is kind of where the whole like civil war thing started, also.
Yeah.
Because slaves were given more rights and more freedoms, and obviously, the South. These orders all came down from Washington, which is nowhere near there, so it's literally on the opposite end side of the country. The North, you could say.
I mean, you could, sort of north west.
Because
it was
north versus
south.
To the west side, So I think there was just there was a lot of focus around this, around slavery and that kind of thing. It was such a big thing, especially in New Orleans. It was such a big thing at the time. And this was kind of the feeling when Delphine was growing up. So she was very young when she was surrounded by family members that owned slaves, but had this, there was this fear factor kind of be around it. But ultimately, the people that owned the slaves were still the dickheads. Like, I'm not saying they had a right to be scared of the slaves. Not all the slaves deserved their own autonomy back. And also a lot of the things around kind of the penalties if you weren't to adhere to looking after your...
They were really, really low penalties.
They could basically pay a fine.
That's it.
And be washed of all kind of responsibility if they were found to be abusing and their slaves and things like that. Most they got was a fine. The only way that they could be prosecuted was if they actually admitted to the abuse,
which they
were never gonna do,
because it was in their best interest to keep their slaves weak. But it's important to point out that not all slaves were mistreated. There were a lot of slaves that were treated, and I'm not condoning slavery in the slightest. There were a lot of slaves that were treated very, very well. Like, they were paid fairly. They had decent working hours, nice-ish places to stay. But they weren't all, horribly abused.
Like, kind of how this story ends up.
Just the sheer fact they're slaves is them being horribly abused. But you get my point.
This fear was kind of within LaLaurie's family was exacerbated by the fact that her uncle was actually killed by one of his slaves. So I think she sort of grew up with a very negative view of slaves and kind of them being their own person or their, being humans. It's just you just saw them very, very negatively from the outset. I still want to touch on the slavery thing and that, really, just to provide some context. It's just giving her a little bit, like, she done this because of this reason, potentially. So during the late 1700s and early 1800s, it also wasn't uncommon for black slaves to be taken as mistresses or partners. This happened quite a lot, and then there was a lot of rights given to these mistresses then. So, for example, if they were to have children, a lot of the time they were, they either got married to their, like, white what's a male mistress?
Pimp.
Yeah, male pimp. Yep.
That's a madame, isn't it? Sorry.
Well, the children ended up being like part of the will and so on and so forth. So this happened a lot within Delphine Lalaurie's family, and she apparently was quite embarrassed by this. She was kind of disgusted about the amount that this was happening in and around her, the amount of children that they were fathering and so on and so forth, and possibly created some resentment. Especially because her dad had an affair with a lady that was from a mixed ethnic background. Her name was Sophie Misante.
That sounds right.
And she actually gave birth to a daughter who was also called Delphine McCarthy, which I think Lalaurie went a little bit, she was pissed off, basically, the fact that, like, with the surname being taken. Also, she was included in the will of her father. And they're a very greedy, greedy money-grabbing family. So no money was enough
money. Got money in the first place.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of was happening. And then also on the birth certificate of that daughter, the godparents were listed as Delphine Lalaurie and also her brother Louis, and I think that was another bit of a slap in the face. Ooh. So it's just all a bit. I think it all just pissed her off just a little bit. Still doesn't condone what she ends up doing. So moving on. So when Delphine was 14, she gets married for the first time.
This is one of the conflicts I saw because I kept seeing 13.
Yeah, I kept seeing 13 as well.
Yeah. No, I didn't see 13. I only saw 14. But I mean, yep, it's possible. Neither should be a thing.
No, well, it wasn't legal then either.
What was that? Sorry,
it wasn't legal then either.
Was it not legal?
No, it was an illegal marriage.
Oh, okay. Mm. It's just wrong anyway. Additionally, wrong by, like, he was 35 years old.
He was 47 years old.
No, I heard that. I got 35. I didn't hear 47.
Yeah,
no, the age difference was 35 years.
Was it?
Yeah.
So, oh, I got he was. Oh,
when the wow.
I'm having a flashback now because I did read something saying 35 years her senior. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was 47. And when the king found out, because he rushed this marriage through.
Yeah, he did,
He held influence over a local bishop and he got
he
got him to marry him in his cathedral. Mm. When the king found out, he banished him.
Yeah.
And he was demoted and sent back to Spain and was in like a lowly, low-ranking job in a little village. But then he got absolved of the crime and was reinstated onto the one of the first like American senates, like I don't know what it was called back then. Yeah.
Oh my god. Wow.
That's fucked up.
That's so. Oh.
It was a rough time to be alive.
Also, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of stories off the back of the main thread of story within this fascinating. Really.
Spiderwebs.
Really, obviously, it's so historical, it's really fascinating. So they got married, and after 5 years, they had one child together, a daughter, everyone will be surprised to know, called Marie.
Although they're all very French names, common French names.
Yeah. And then I think, like, Marie, was she like just been born or hadn't quite been born yet and was about to be, and he passes away.
Yeah.
So
in a boat accident, a sinking clipper.
Boat
ship.
Accident.
Yeah.
Inverted commas.
Did start to wonder, but I don't know how she would sink a ship.
I don't think it was her. I think it was classed as suspicious, but I don't obviously think it was her.
Well, it sank just outside Cuba, so it wasn't even
it was just outside Cuba. Yeah. It was probably Rivals or, you know, Island.
I mean, the seas are perilous now. They're even more perilous then in a wooden clipper ship.
I was going to say. Oh, God, no. I can't get into the sea again.
I will never get into the sea.
I just have nightmares. I'll never get into the sea again. Yeah, so he was kind of like, he was like a small little blip in her life, but then she's ended up with a child off the back of it.
Yeah. Also much older than her, by the way.
Yeah. So she then gets married for a second time. This is 4 years later, and this is to Jean-Paul Blanc.
This is the one also.
This one, this guy was also, a piece of shit. And at this point, they, as a couple, they're extremely rich. They inherit so much stuff off the back of this wedding. So they're already rich anyway, but they inherit.
Well, she was born into money anyway.
She was. Well, then they were gifted money. They were gifted plantations. They were gifted slaves. I just think it's ridiculous. It's like, here, have some slaves.
Yeah, have a human being.
Have a human being.
It's crazy to think of that. And the fact it is still going on.
I know. That's my mind. The thing that just shouldn't be, should it? It's scary. Like,
modern slavery.
We know now. Yeah.
Modern slavery. Imagine being at a job you hate
all the time for no money.
Yeah.
No money.
Modern slavery and human trafficking is a massive problem.
That's terrifying.
I was going to say that it's like terrifying to like look into, isn't it? Any like anything you read on it or research about it, it's just.
Yeah,
it just sends you down a road of sheer seedy ick, horribleness.
Yeah, I mean, because of the job that I do, I've been to conferences and things like that where people from law enforcement who have worked in modern slavery cases have shown photos and things like that from raids and things like that. Bad.
Because I know British and American Special Forces teams do a lot of that rescue modern day slaves and trafficked people.
And it can be really hard to spot as well.
Yeah. I imagine it's very hard. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so successful. Wow, we've gone on a tangent.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
Sorry. To be fair, at least it's still crime orientated.
It's true.
It's related. This is tangentially related.
Yeah. at this point, they were worth around $2 million $2 million back then. So,
That'd be tens of millions today.
Yeah, imagine being worth $2 million at 20. I'd take being worth $2 million now, not even in today's money.
A million quid would set me up for the rest of my life because my lifestyle wouldn't change.
Yeah,
I'd be quite happy for the rest of my life. $1 million, that's all. Come on, Jeff Bezos, put me up. I know you're listening.
I can't hear that name without thinking of the
of Bo Burnham. Yeah,
Bo Burnham's Jeffrey Bezos song. In the period between 1809 and 1815, they had three daughters and one son. I actually didn't note down their names. Feel free, but it's probably Marie or Louis or Jean Paul.
You're very close. It was Louise Marie Louise, and then one was Jean, because she was named after the dad, I think. So
she the black sheep of the family.
She was Jeannie Louise or Jeannie Marie or something
that. Oh, she had at least one.
Yeah.
That's just, I think I literally gave up with the names because I was just it's just going to get too confusing.
Family names were big back then, though.
It's true.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
And then in 1815, Jean Blanc died. So I assume one of the kids was born again and then the partner died again. Very very repetitive her dating history.
Also.
But at this point they were in debt by $2.5 million. So they were when they got together very up and now they're very down. But she managed to get this kind of written off isn't the correct word, but she managed to end up paying. She was able to keep her estates and she wouldn't have to sell them or to pay it off. She was able to sell whatever he owned to pay it off. And that was that. I think she kind of pleaded like the whole like I didn't know he was doing it kind of thing, and why should I pay for so yeah, she was very, very scared of kind of not having money, as most people are normally, but I think when you are so used to living so comfortably and all of a sudden that's
she was very much used to that lifestyle, wasn't she? And she weren't going back.
Is not a word they're familiar with.
No, absolutely not, no.
Yeah. But then her dad passed away. I haven't got the year of that. And the money that she inherited then from the will and property and so on basically brought her back up to being absolutely minted. And then she went on to marry her third husband, who is a little weirdo.
Yeah.
And much younger.
And much,
much younger. Yeah.
This time younger, yeah.
Did she get the mansion after the second husband died, right?
No, the famous mansion.
Yeah.
No, that's during the third.
Ah,
the Royal Street one.
Yeah.
Yeah, during the third marriage. Yeah.
So his name is Leonard LaLaurie.
Leonard LaLaurie.
Yeah, doctor. Yeah, so strange. Like the whole getting the paper to announce your.
I know. Yeah.
To announce your arrival, but that you're a renowned physician that has a new technique to remove humps from backs.
Yeah, he was 26, by the way.
He was 15. The age gap was 15 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, she went younger this time. She was like, oh, I didn't work the last two times. Let's go
younger. Maybe we'll try different.
Third time's the charm.
Yeah, apparently so, but like their relationship was not.
Wasn't.
They didn't like each other at all.
I imagine she was a hard woman to like.
Yeah, but then again, she'd done all right before, hadn't she? But he was quite like, he wanted to make a name for himself. And obviously, she's turning up and she is a widowed woman who's absolutely minted. And he's like, here we go. I'll just, I'm younger, I'm agile, I'm a doctor, even though he wasn't a doctor. He'd just done a, he'd done something medical orientated before he went over to New Orleans, but he wasn't an actual.
Did he just pay for the title, or did he just like he just started calling like himself doctor?
Yeah, I mean, like, they probably would have been able to check on them.
Yeah, I think it was like thinking medicine, like probably what's like a pharmacist now. Okay, but then he goes over to New Orleans and he's like, I'm a doctor and I can remove humps, which I didn't realize was such a big thing back then, but apparently so. Like
epidemic of humps.
Epidemic of humps.
Although, it probably was because a lot of people had rickets like in their legs and shit.
Yeah, so probably used like some form of.
Wasn't a lot of fresh fruit and veg.
Yeah.
Oh, it was very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they had a son together, and the son was born out of wedlock. So I think they pretty much ended up getting married because,
frowned upon. Bastard child.
I mean, that's the least of her problems, really, isn't it?
I reckon.
No, yeah. No, I was popping out kids left, right, and centre, though, wasn't I?
Oh, yeah.
You imagine if that was still a thing. Like, most people would just be bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most of my friends with kids have had their kids out of wedlock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, mine is.
Yeah. So you imagine how many there would be? Like everyone, pretty much.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
It's mad how that culture shift has happened over the last decades.
Out of vogue.
Yeah. To be honest, it's so freaking expensive now, though. Yeah. So a lot of the time it's like financial reasons. It's like, even if you can afford it, do you really want to spend that much on a wedding, or shall we put it towards something else? Like, it's a big, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
People
get themselves into debt just for a certain wedding day that they have in their mind. That, like, it's ridiculous. So then in 1831, that's when they bought the house that is famously, the famous LaLaurie haunted, now known as the Haunted Mansion.
God, there's so much ghost stuff about this online.
It's a creepy looking building, though, to be fair.
Like, I saw something with Jack Osborne.
It's a gorgeous building.
Oh, it is.
Gorgeous building.
Now, this is another thing I read conflicting results for. So, some things said she bought it, another thing said she bought the land and built it.
Yeah, she bought the land and she built it.
She built it. I got she built it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, Which, yeah, but
like most of the buildings look like that. It's
it's an sort
absolutely
of
stunning place. Yeah. It really is.
I've never been there.
It's, but like, it's. I mean, obviously, I went in 2018. I went, and the whole like vibe. It's like a party town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of very it's densely
terrifying
populated.
To me.
It's. It wasn't terrifying. I didn't feel unsafe there or anything like that.
To the people.
Everybody was really nice.
Socializing.
Most people that we met and got talking to in bars were not from New Orleans. Like they were all tourists, but they were all American, if that makes sense.
Weirdly, yeah. Amsterdam's like that.
Really?
Yeah,
when I was in Amsterdam, yeah. I didn't meet a single Dutch person, but loads of Americans. Loads of them.
Really? Yeah. That's mental.
Yeah.
I find that a lot in like major cities, though, don't you?
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
I would love to go to New Orleans. Like,
I did a cemetery and voodoo tour.
Yeah, and yeah. For loads of different reasons though, as well. Like the food as well. Like,
oh, the food is incredible.
Yeah,
the food is, and you can basically go from bar to bar, like, and drink in the street and stuff.
Yeah,
like you go, if you go into like your first bar,
sounds
they'll
like
give
everywhere
you,
in England.
But you can drink in the like it's and you can just
really
drink
weird it, about doing that.
You can just walk around and drink in the street. Yeah. There's like designated areas, designated streets. But you like the first bar that we went into, they gave us like plastic beakers with like the pub's logo on it, and they were like, just hold on to your cups and everything, and you can just use them and just go in and out all the other bars and stuff in the French Quarter. Yeah, it's great. It was a great really good vibe. Didn't see any trouble.
Really,
a lot of lot of homeless people though. A lot of homeless,
okay,
but that's
now.
yeah that's the standard. But yeah, we did a voodoo and cemetery tour. We went to the most popular cemetery, which is St. Louis number one, I think it's called St. Louis number one, which is basically like prime real estate in terms of graveyards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're all above ground, aren't they?
They're all above ground. Mm-hmm. Like the tour was so incredibly interesting. I mean, we were there in August, and it's like 35, 40 degrees outside. And before we went into the graveyard, because because they have a problem with homeless people, when people go to visit their family graves and tombs, they obviously put offerings down of like food and alcohol and things like that. Mm. So all the cemeteries are walled, and they have a security guard, and you have to show ID and sign in and sign out.
Oh, wow.
Because the homeless people go in. And were
the food.
Stealing stuff. They were desecrating the tombstones and things like that.
I don't agree with desecrating the tombstones, but I'm perfectly happy with them taking the food and drink.
I think that's fair. Like, you know,
absolutely fair.
You know, homeless people. That's how they're going to survive.
They have a different belief system though, don't they? Because you have like Dia de Muertos and all that kind of thing. It's like they're. Yeah. For them, it's really sacred, isn't it? But to us, it's like that's just going to waste.
Yeah,
but,
that's just wasted food when there's starving people there.
Yeah.
And because all the it's so interesting. So because all the graves are above ground, and they're above ground because of they have a high water table, and obviously flooding from the river. The bodies used to wash up and flow down the street when the river flooded and things like that. So they built these tombs that are above ground, and some of them are absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're stunning, absolutely stunning. But what happens is it gets really fucking hot. So before we went into the cemetery, they were like, right, make sure you've got enough water and things like that, because it's all just brick and mortar and everything. They were like, it's 10 degrees hotter inside. It's like a fucking furnace. It was awful. It was something like 44 degrees.
Oh, no, that's too much.
When we went.
Yes, that is too much.
You felt it kick up as soon as like we walked in and like, started walking around.
Yeah.
Because they're quite close proximity. Like all the walkways between the aisles, they're quite narrow in parts.
Yeah.
And it is, you can just feel the heat radiating off these tombs.
Wow.
Have you ever been to Highgate Cemetery in London?
No, I haven't. No. No,
that's like that.
Is it?
It's massive.
Wow.
Look it up. It's incredible. Oh, you'll never believe that's in England.
Was it Highgate?
Highgate Cemetery, yeah. There's a very famous Highgate vampire story.
Oh, is it?
Very interesting. Yeah, it's interesting story. But it's more interesting because of the two guys that were hunting the vampire.
That looks like something out of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
It's insane, isn't it?
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have a look.
It's locked up at night, though, so you can only go in it during the day.
It's mad, isn't it, that we have to do things like that.
Yeah, loads of historical famous people are buried there. Cannot think of a single one.
It looks like it's from a movie.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They are like, what they are, though, they can be really beautiful, like cemeteries, especially if they've got like, mausoleums.
Even
and
the small ones.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
It's fascinating to me.
What's ironic about the New Orleans one as well, sorry, going off on a tangent, but it is really fascinating because they're all Catholic, because obviously it was French, then it was Spanish, and then it was American. There's a lot of Catholics that live there. Obviously, Catholics can't be cremated.
Mm.
Yeah.
But what happens is they put the bodies in the tombs, and because it gets really fucking hot, after a year, they open it back up and the bodies are just ash, and they scoop them up, put them in an urn and put them back in.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So it's like natural.
So it naturally incinerates them over a year because it gets so fucking hot in there.
That must be really
fucking hot because it takes something like 3,000 degrees to turn bones to ash.
Yeah. I think it's something like a year. I think it was something like a year and a day.
Fucking
they go back.
Hell.
Yeah.
Someone's done that for the first time, though. Someone has opened one of those up for some weird reason and gone, oh, they're just ashy. Like, this is something we should do going forward. But someone opened that up for different reasons.
Actually, the walls and gates were probably put there originally because of grave robbing. Because above
ground
graves are much easier to rob. It's like when you go into British cemeteries, sometimes you see the steel cages around the really old graves.
Yeah.
They put them over to stop grave robbing.
Grave robbing, yeah.
Mental.
Sorry,
this is one hell of a tangent.
Sorry,
it's
because I've been there, and I know a lot of. We'll get onto Nicolas Cage in a bit.
Yeah. We'll get so excited. A bit.
So in 1828, this is when she finally starts to be accused of mistreating her slaves. So this is kind of what she's known for.
Yeah. So they said it first started showing up briefly after the second husband, so they didn't know whether or not maybe he was also brutal to slaves.
Yeah, which is most likely. The thing is, though, like, even though they were her slaves and they were, like, that you could see they'd been terribly, like, whipped and they were bloody and malnourished and all this kind of stuff, like, because there was no proof that she was the one actually doing it, she never got, nothing ever happened to her because it was like, well, it weren't me.
The thing is, she kept decoy slaves. So the ones that people saw were well looked after.
I didn't read that. Did she?
Yeah, she had like show slaves.
She was a piece of work. And she's also apparently because of the whole thing that was enforced about like if a slave wanted to make additional money, they could go out and like use their skills elsewhere, make some money. But allegedly, she would want that money. She would loan them out for that reason. But like, go and make some money. But she would want that money returned to her. And if they didn't make enough, what she deemed as enough or anything at all, she would then confine them to a cellar and basically chain them up.
Attic, wouldn't it?
At this point, I think I've got a cellar at this point. I know they did. I don't know if there even was a cellar, but I know obviously a lot
of
them
were found.
I think
there was a cellar because I think that's where the kitchen was.
Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
And she evolved. She moved from the cellar to the. She was like, let's get them low and then move them into plain sight. Yeah, and then in 1832, again, she was charged for mistreatment of slaves, and but she managed to pay the authorities off this time because money, obviously.
Wait, isn't money talks around?
Money talks, isn't it?
She was ordered to sell 9 of her slaves.
Did
yeah, so when she was caught, she was fined $300 and was ordered to sell 9 of her slaves. Oh. But being the smarty pants that she is, she sold the slaves and then bought them right back immediately.
Brilliant.
Because she had fulfilled her legal obligation to sell the slaves.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They didn't say anything about
it. There's nothing about buying them back.
Yeah. So yeah. She did. She sold them and then bought them straight back.
Smart
at
lady.
At a discounted price.
Well, of course.
Oh, so she God. Made money from the she transaction. She made money.
That's terrible. Yeah.
First boss-ass bitch.
She is for the wrong reasons. But for someone for I'm not... as a feminist, this is someone I am not supportive of. and even got to the point where one of her family members reported her for the mistreatment of her slaves. But again, she swore on a Bible... in a corner, and they were like, that she didn't do it, and they were like, yeah, same, that's good enough for us.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, she just kept getting away with things. So then I suppose she carried on with the brutality.
Yeah. But word, like rumors had started spreading by now. So after she'd been sort of caught mistreating her slaves a few times, word was getting around that she was like cruel to her slaves. Nobody knew the extent of it, but there were. Mutterings,
yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
Mutterings.
That's it. No smoke without fire.
Exactly. You can't. You know. You can't just keep doing it and expect it to go. Like most people get caught at the end of the day at some point. Yeah. So one of the most like famously heard things that she done. Now, there's not really any evidence to support that she did do this, but. As we said, we'd go into some of the more mythical stuff as well. So she had a slave girl called Leah. So this was a younger girl. And at one point she was brushing Madame LaLaurie's hair and she happened to kind of snag it. And Delphine was not happy with this. She got absolutely pissed and chased the girl to a balcony where... So there's two... To this false account, there's two different endings. There's one where the girl jumped off and fell to her death because she didn't want to face the consequences that a lot of the slaves were having to endure, which we'll get onto. And I think, to be fair, I probably would choose jumping off the balcony.
Yep.
And the other account is that Delphine was chasing her with a whip and then the girl just happened to run and fall off.
Yeah.
Off
interestingly,
the balcony.
Though, the window she jumped from was bricked up and is still bricked up to this day. So when you look at modern pictures of it, if you look it up, like I looked it up this year, all the windows on the top are windows except one, the second one in on the left, which is bricked up.
Wow.
Wow.
Fascinating. I would love to see this building, to be fair.
It's privately owned now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So the thing that's actually proven from the records in terms of what she'd done was that in with the slaves that she owned, there was 20 slaves that died and they were mostly women and children, so the chances of that being down to like disease or something so it's most likely she's probably abused them to the point where the body's probably shut down so and not necessarily some of the things that she actually done, so we can go into some of the gore now.
Should we talk about how they found that?
I have got that next if you want to.
Yeah, because I think I think it's an easier transition.
Cool. Yeah. So on the 10th of April 1834, so this is like the famous fire. So there was a fire that started in the kitchen, and again, there was varying stories as to how that happened. Kind of the most famous one is that there was the cook, the female sort of cook who worked in the kitchen.
That's actually the only one I heard.
Well, it was the cook. I got both accounts being her that done it, but one was that she was chained to the stove or whatever.
She
saw no way out of it all. So she basically purposely set the fire to sort of end Madame Lorraine's like reign of terror. Yeah. The other one was that she did purposely say it, but it weren't that she was, she just worked in the kitchen. She wasn't chained. She just had enough, didn't want to be a slave anymore and saw this as her way out. So both, they're very, very similar accounts.
So that's I think the, well, I say the more plausible one, but I would imagine she was probably chained to the stove because of what else they found.
Yeah.
Because when the fire started, again, there was two different accounts. Some said neighbours ran into the house. Some say it was the fire brigade that ran into the house and the authorities. But either way, they heard shouting from downstairs, went down into the like the cellar, which was the kitchen, and found the cook. It was a 70-year-old lady chained to the stove. And she just kept saying, attic, in the attic.
Yeah.
And then when the rescuers got her out and went up into the attic, that's when they found the horror show.
Yeah. Yeah. Because they were very, like Dalvin was very much like, and Louis, was it Louis? Yeah, Louis.
Probably,
were very much like,
it's a safe bet.
While their house is going up in flames, they didn't want it to be sort of barricaded, obviously for...
Yeah. Well, she was seen to be trying to save her jewellery rather than slaves people. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because she's
remotely surprised.
Well, yeah, because slaves are going to be dispensable, aren't they? They, you know, her jewels especially and, in her and eyes, riches and things like that.
Money,
she's...
money, money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there was a judge that was there, and he basically ordered the doors to be broken down against their wishes. And then that's when so there was like the kitchen bit, and then two stories up was the attic, sort of directly above that, which is where these slaves were being held. So the doors were sort of ramrodded down, and the kind of the scenes that they were met with was horrific. And I think it's horrific. It's horrific with what was kind of like documented, definitely documented, but it's also equally horrific for potentially what she done as well. So in terms of what was actually like what I found had been documented, so there were slaves, the slaves emerged and they were covered in scars, but also mutilated. I didn't get much in terms of what mutilation. But
there's a lot. If you've got a list, Paul,
well, in terms of what was actually documented or what was.
Okay, let's go with Paul's list, and then we'll go with the documentation.
They found a lot of slaves in the loft, attic, whatever you want to call it. It said that there was one woman who had her intestines pulled out of her body and tied around her body. And she was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Another woman had her limbs broken so many times and reset in wrong positions that she resembled a crab.
Yeah.
All of the slaves in the attic had flesh removed from various parts of their body. It said that one of them was force-fed animal excrement and then their lips physically sewn shut.
Yeah, sewn shut. That was the one... sewn shut, like
I know.
And that creeps me out.
Yeah, it really freaks me out. That does.
And that's where there was these things aren't actually documented, but then from those rumors came. Did she have an accomplice? Because to hold someone down, put faces in their mouth, sew it shut, do all these things, it's like that's quite a lot for one person.
I'd imagine she was making the other slaves help.
Do you think? I think she
had
a lot of power. Yeah, I do,
And they were emaciated, remember, as well. She hadn't fed them. Some of them have been in the attic for months.
I think, though, if that happens to be true, I think her husband would have
helped. I thought so,
because
too.
Because he had an interest
He's the doctor. Yeah.
Exactly.
Experimentation.
So
I think it was more him.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And especially if, you know, like you say, the one had her limbs broken and reset multiple times.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
Exactly. That's a, for starters, but we do, and this was in the forefront of my mind this whole time. this is 200 years
oh, of no, yeah.
stories being passed on yeah, from yeah. one person to another.
Oh, yeah.
And things get exaggerated and boring.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Like, I've got this briefly, just quick. I've got this story from when me and my friendship group were at school. We went on a school trip to Belgium. And we were drinking beer, because you could, young. Where at the time of our lives, we've been a bit loud and drunk and stupid. We got some dirty looks from like locals and stuff like that. But a few months after we got back from that trip, that story had escalated into, oh, the police drew their guns and we were kicked out of Belgium. Like, it was just this ridiculously exaggerated tale that had just come out of this trip.
It is mad. Like, Chinese whispers is like,
yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
One thing ends up complete polar opposite. It is crazy. People just love drama, don't they? So any little anecdote they can add, and then the next person adds a little bit more, and
But I mean, it happens in modern cases too. Like, you hear rumors and like, oh, this happened, and then when you find out the real story, like, oh, that didn't happen.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, this case appealed to me because I was like, we haven't done anything like it before, and also it's like, it's sick as hell. But when I looked into it, in terms of what we actually definitely know, it's still terrible.
Yeah. Oh, it's still terrible. It's not, she was horrible to slaves. That's really all we know.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. But it wasn't this big, like, thing that it's been built up to be. And she was like, you know, because there was, like, one account where she'd basically made one of the women, female slaves, resemble a caterpillar, because they'd, like, peeled skin, like, circles of skin around her body and, like, mutilated her arms and all this kind of stuff. And there's no actual documented anything that was actual thing.
One of them I do believe, though, is where a lot of the slaves were shackled around the neck.
Yeah, they had shackles
had spikes.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
On the inside of the collar, so they couldn't move.
Yeah.
That I believe.
I believe that, yeah. Because, I mean, there's actual, like, evidence of the chain things. Like, she very much, like, used that as a thing. So I fully believe that.
They ripped fingernails off as well.
Yeah.
Fingernails, I wouldn't be toenails.
That seems plausible, for sure.
Yeah.
That seems like that would be a punishment.
Yeah. That's such, like, a little thing to do that's so stomach churning. Like,
it's like a Chinese water torture kind of thing, isn't it? It's, imagine, like, I mean, your nails, you know, grow from
the Japanese skin. Did use that as a torture.
I know.
Disgusting techniques as, like, torture.
Yeah, well, they've had thousands of years to perfect them. Oh, weirdly, though, they're one of the most peaceful nations on earth now.
There's always, like, a scene in film called Stir of Echoes. I don't know if you've
seen it. Oh my god, that film. I was just about to mention it.
Every time someone mentions, like, the nail, that scene comes into my head, and it literally makes me feel physically sick.
Yeah, I get flashbacks of that.
It's a good film, isn't it? Really good film.
And when he goes to the mirror and he pulls his tooth out.
I think about teeth and nails, like, and that's teeth and nails, isn't it? Like, the pulling people's teeth out and stuff is just
it's like the fly.
Nails and eyeballs. For that. I can't. Anything to do with teeth, eyeballs, and nails, I can't. It just turns my stomach. It just.
One of my biggest fears, you know, when you have, like, an irrational fear.
Yeah, I've got thousands of them.
Yeah. One of mine is, because I'm quite clumsy, but tripping over and knocking out my teeth. You'll see sometimes, if, like, the floor's uneven, you'll see I will be so hyper-focused on the floor because I'm absolutely terrified of knocking my teeth out. And
I've got a similar thing where it's falling over and hitting the back of my head on the floor.
Oh, okay.
No, mine is falling forward and basically face planting the pavement. Yeah.
Do you two not have arms or?
I am super clumsy though. Like,
yeah, but you realise you can put your arms out.
Yeah, I know, but it's the force. You know, if you fall forward with so much force, your arms are only going to do so much, and your head is so heavy that it's going to carry that momentum forward. It's like, you know, in American History X.
Actually, your head gets exponentially heavier the further forward it goes.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul, I've got my phone in one hand and a coffee in the other. There's definitely no one.
So you don't want to mitigate the danger. You just want to look out for it.
Look, Paul, we're millennials.
The phone
we're,
and the coffee.
We're millennials. That those are the priority. The phone and the hot drink.
But you two don't do that, so you're all right.
So, in terms of like what was actually like documented, so it's less. Oh, I don't know what the right word is, but less sort of like. I'm going to say gruesome, but that's not correct. But so they were covered in scars. They were mutilated. They had been suspended by their necks and their limbs were stretched and torn. So yeah. that with the thing that you mentioned, Paul, with the chains, with the spikes, I fully see that. They were really malnourished. One of the slaves did have a hole in his head. Yeah. I do think this was Louis, though.
I do. That's the impression I got.
Yeah, and he was covered in scars, which they all would because they had been beaten, whipped, and they were maggot infested. Which
because he disappeared, hadn't he?
Yeah, he popped off.
He vanished. Yeah, he'd gone. Yeah, left her the house and everything in it. It's like it just seems a bit.
Yeah,
I reckon they were there. I reckon he did it, and they were just there. I don't think she bothered with him at all.
I think he was experimenting or trying to self-teach himself like medical procedures and things like that, because some of the injuries, like you say, with the hole in the head, that's too
that
precise.
Feels medical.
It is.
It feels medical, but I still think like she massively like mistreated.
She definitely
would have literally been like And one of the sad things afterwards, one of the things I find really sad was, so when the slaves were taken, wherever they were taken afterwards, people came to see them like a freak show.
Yeah.
People wanted to observe the slaves. Horror.
People were up in arms about this. This is the thing where it gets twisted again. I imagine this is a gross exaggeration, but they were saying like 4,000 people turned up to the mansion. There was such an angry mob, they destroyed it. Like, they smashed the doors.
Yeah, they did,
They smashed all the windows.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
I think they were trophy hunting.
Yeah, I do as well.
Probably, yeah. So there was call for to immediately arrest Delphine and Louis, but they had, as we said, both disappeared.
Escaped in the melee during the fire.
She just fucked off, didn't she?
Yeah, they say she boarded a carriage and headed to the port and was out of there.
And
went to Paris.
And went to Paris, yep.
Because she lived in Paris.
Yep.
Until she died.
Yep.
Allegedly.
Because she did want to go back to New Orleans. She was dead set on going back to New Orleans, but her kids talked her out of it.
Yeah, but like her estate and her property and everything got sold, didn't it? After.
Yeah.
Years later.
To Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage.
He bought it in, I think it was in 2006.
Yeah.
And he had it for a number of years because he bought that house. He bought another property. He does have a tomb in St. Louis Cemetery number 1.
Of course he does.
Which is a fucking eyesore. It's a big white pyramid with Latin on it, which the Latin translation is something like everything from one. It's like omni something. The residents of New Orleans like complained to the state about it. Nicolas Cage couldn't actually buy it.
No, because he was skint.
No. This is before that. This is before that. He couldn't buy it because he's not a Catholic. He got Uncle Francis Ford Coppola to buy it.
Of course.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So the interesting thing about this is, again, learnt this on the tour when we were there. So when he went bankrupt and he had to sell a load of shit to make his money and pay his tax bill, basically.
He had to sell his T-Rex skull.
Yeah, he had to sell the properties in New Orleans. But under US law, they cannot claim the cemetery plot. Can't claim it.
Okay.
so he's still got it. it's not in his name, but he's still got it because it's Francis Ford Coppola because he's Catholic. But what's really...
And French, I'd imagine.
Well, yeah. But what's even more hilarious about this is if Nicolas Cage dies, I say if, when. He's not immortal. He is going to die at some point. US, there's some kind of American legislation that says that that he has to be buried in this plot because he technically owns it. But under, I think it's like Louisiana state law or something like that, he can't be buried there because he's not Catholic.
He probably don't give a shit.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Do you want him? My problem's sorted out.
If you're so desperate for it, just renounce yourself as Catholic.
Doesn't Trent Reznor own a famous property in New Orleans?
Does he?
Yeah, or the front door's famous, isn't it? Like, it's a famous front door he's got. It's a distant memory popped up from when I used to read Kerrang and Metal Hammer and stuff.
he sold it.
Is this something about the front door?
Let's have a look. He lived in a New Orleans mansion for 10 years and he sold it in 2005 for $1.8 million. The house, it was on Coliseum Street. Four-bedroom house, originally built in 1850, 4,900 square feet. Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Doesn't say that it's like a famous house or anything. It's very nice.
It's something about his front door. I can't. Might have to cut this out. This is boring as shit.
But yeah, I didn't know Trent Reznor.
Okay, so it's
Go on.
So on his mansion in New Orleans, he had shipped over and fitted the front door from Sharon Tate's murder house.
Oh, wow.
Cielo Drive.
It is, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, that's creepy.
I wonder if that's an urban legend, because there's got to be like, surely you can't just take those front doors off those historic mansions and just put on random ones.
Yeah, that's really creepy.
No.
You'd never be able to do that in this country. Like listed houses, you can't do anything to.
Well, yeah, see, you can't touch them. I don't know the idea of that anyway. It's creepy.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
That is a bit weird, yeah. I don't like the idea of owning like
murder props. Like that. No. Especially when it was something that brutal and disgusting.
So used to be that website, is it Murderphilia? Used to sell like
did they?
Yeah, they used to sell like
murder memorabilia,
John Wayne Gacy draw paintings, originals, and like letters and stuff like that.
There is a Museum of Death in New Orleans, obviously.
Yeah, there's one in London.
That's the body. There's two in America. So there's one in Hollywood, and there's one in New Orleans. They're the two. I assume. Brand name, if you like. There's two Museum of Deaths. I bought Sam something from the Museum of Death.
Was it a dead body?
No, it's a pin badge. But can you guess what the pin badge was of?
I got murdered in New Orleans.
No, it's a person.
A person.
Is it Lestat?
No.
Is it? It's not from New Orleans.
No, it's think
is it
Museum
Charles
of
Manson?
Death. No,
it's Jeffy D.
Is it Jeffy D?
Jeffy D.
In his orange, prison outfit. Yeah.
Very good.
I do like Jeffy D. Sound like got a little collection going. It's a bit strange.
I've got an Edmund Kemper bookmark.
Did he do the audio book that you use it with?
He did record them though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Did Star Wars ones.
Did he do Star Wars?
Yeah, he did the Star Wars audio books, yeah.
I would love to listen to that.
Yeah, same.
Anyway.
Tangent
number four or whatever
50.
Now.
We've kept them relatively relevant, relatively relevant.
That sounds like a Willy Wonka song.
Oh,
or like Bedknobs and Broomsticks or something like that.
Yeah, I love that film.
Relatively relevant.
What's that one? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
It's Mary Poppins, isn't it?
That's it. They're all the same film.
Yeah.
Singing, just offended
a load of Disney fans
British
there.
British accents, you know, it's all the same.
Awful British accents, yeah.
Technically, I'm a Disney fan. I love Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not entertaining Star Wars.
Disney own the fucking world now, anyway. SJ, did you finish True Detective?
Yes.
How disappointed were you on a scale of 1 to 10?
I actually really enjoyed the ending.
What? It was just such a blow off, we can't be arsed ending I've ever seen in my life.
I liked it because it was all ambiguous and it was all, you know.
It wasn't ambiguous. Well, that's the problem. It was fucking shit.
But girl power.
Had two brilliant starter episodes. Then two really filler episodes when literally nothing happens. And then you had the last episode, and skip this if you haven't seen the end of True Detective Season 4, where they just went, oh yeah, it was this bunch of women here who had never been in the show before.
A bunch of Native Americans froze to death. No, they had been in it because they were in the factory. They were in the factory, weren't they? In the mine.
But, do you know what I mean? Night country and like mystical, this polar bear keeps appearing. None of that was explained. Absolutely none of it.
I really enjoyed it.
I wanted to kill the person that wrote it when it finished. Even Jodie Foster wasn't enough to save it in the end.
Oh, she was great. I thought she was great.
She was great, but fucking hell, what a disappointment. Anyway, sorry about that.
It's all right, no problem. there is a little bit of she basically didn't end up coming to justice after everything she'd done. In terms of what we know, she ended up going to New York and then from New York went to France. And some of her family moved closer to her. Her and Louis basically split. Like, I'm actually surprised they even lasted this long.
Well, she was gone quite a long time before she left New Orleans, months.
Yeah. Is this the husband, the
young one?
Yeah. Was he the one that ended up, is it Lafitte, the pirate?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
So he'd gone.
He fucked up, didn't he?
He wanted, basically split with her and left her the house and everything in it. Mm. And that was all he left her and he went.
He went to France with her.
I didn't. That's not what I read.
Because there are letters.
What the fuck?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we went to France and then basically, because they were so poor at this point, she was really pissed off because obviously it's not something she's used to. And they were trying to get their money back. And then he just got that, I think, sick of it. And also she didn't have money anymore. So then he went to Cuba.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then from he basically died in Cuba and he's buried in Havana.
Interesting. Because I saw that he'd left her months before the fire. Why she was the only one that got in trouble for the abuse of slaves and not him.
I think they did separate because she requested a separation. So I think they did separate. But I don't know whether I'm going to say that he didn't completely disappear off the scene completely because there are letters from him in France.
Interesting.
But then obviously he started off. He was writing to his son-in-law asking for some of his personal items from New Orleans, like his father's medical books and stuff because, you know, he's still that crazy ass doctor. And Delphina Lurie, she died on the 19th of December 1949, and she just died of natural causes. She did die in France, and she was buried in the Mount Marte Cemetery in France. But then her body was exhumed and sent for reburial in New Orleans, and mm-hmm. there is only rumors around where she's buried in New Orleans. Her, I think it's like one of her great grandchildren had like a mausoleum thing yeah. built for like mm-hmm. six bodies. Yeah. And this is where people think that she is.
Yeah.
But this was built like a long time kind of after. And there's no actual confirmation she's buried there. No.
Is that the tomb where they've loads of people graffitied?
Graffiti,
it?
Yes. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it. It's in St. Louis Cemetery. Yeah.
That's the one with all the cats, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep the rats out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just like loads of cats just chilling and that. No one knows, but
think I've got a photo of it.
Just the fact that she was just like, she ended up like, I think she ended up living quite comfortably.
Yep. She led a good and happy life till the day she died.
Yeah.
Well, allegedly, because I don't know what any of this is true or not.
She's like an absolutely disgusting human being who like constantly just keeps like.
But I feel like that's more evidence that it was him. Because she didn't continue to do it. So when she left.
There's nothing to say that she continues to do it, no.
Yeah. In fact, I'd specifically read that she lived a good life up until she died.
Yeah, I definitely.
And didn't have slaves because they didn't have them in France by that point.
Yeah, because nothing happened with the. Nothing was documented to have happened with the first husband. Then there was stuff that was documented to happen with the second husband.
Yep,
and then
that's where it started.
With the third. Yeah, so.
So it started after the second husband.
She probably was a bitch to them, but I wouldn't. But she probably didn't. You don't know, do you? Like,
yeah.
she's.
Yeah, you don't know.
I'm not it's trying to, like. This sounds so, like, I'm on her side. I'm not. Oh, if she's done it, she's scum. But like it's so easy, especially in those times, to sort of be like, oh, it was her, like it was mm-hmm. the woman. Like you said before with the whole Bathory thing, like people didn't like wealthy, successful women.
Powerful
it was
women.
Just yeah, it was a no. Like we must tear them down in any way we can. And this was obviously no way to do it because there was evidence of mistreatment. But a lot of the mistreatment, as we've said, does point to it being him wanting to be some sort of crazy Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is terrifying in itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, also not the first. I mean, you got H.H. Holmes as well. Was like
Yeah, we mentioned him last time, didn't we?
Yeah, he's popping up. We should do him at some point.
Can you...
Another
it's well overexposed for me. Oh, I see it. Yeah. Is that Nicolas Cage's tomb?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to put that on Instagram.
It's been struck by lightning.
Of course it has.
Yeah, it's honestly it sticks out like a sore thumb. It's a big, bright white pyramid, and everything else is all like gothic. And
would you expect anything less from Nicolas Cage?
Yeah. I'll put it on the episode post.
Terrible. It shouldn't be like that. Should have just not even been authorized at all. Like it, regardless of who we end up getting it built by, like getting it shouldn't. It should have just been no. We don't permit it. It doesn't fit the decor.
It doesn't fit the aesthetic of this graveyard.
That's exactly what would happen in England.
Because the thing is as well, like, even outside of the whole like cemetery thing, like it has a very like the area like New Orleans and that has a very specific architectural look, doesn't it?
Oh,
and
yeah, it does, yeah.
You know.
So it's a mix between Spanish, French and Creole architecture, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but apparently most of it now is Spanish that's left because there were so many fires in New Orleans that burnt a lot of the wooden buildings down. So most of them are now of a Spanish design.
Of course, yeah.
And it is right next to the river. It's literally on the river.
Yeah.
The main, scary like the main mountain. Drag. Yeah, it's right next to the river. The what's the river?
God knows.
Mississippi. It's Mississippi.
Oh, is it Mississippi?
Yeah, it's Mississippi.
I don't like any form of transport unless I'm driving it.
Hi, it's Mike from the After Horror Podcast telling you to listen to the After Horror Podcast. It's four idiots who occasionally talk about the film that we're supposed to be, you know, like doing and stuff. They give it a listen. Or don't, like, I'm not your dad, but, you know, I think you'd enjoy it.
It is your choice next, Paul.
It is, yeah.
Oh, you do know that, okay.
Yeah, I do, yeah. We're going to do the horrible murder of Kaylee Haywood. It's a lesser known one. Brief.
Okay.
Kaylee is spelled K-A-Y-L-E-I-G-H.
Like the Marillion version.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is like our way.
Oh, God. Misham. Jesus. That's like close to me. No. Relatively. Well, me and Sam. It's Midlands, Leicestershire.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know this one. That'll be good.
I don't think I do.
No, it's a lesser known one. Relatively recent.
Okay, yeah, 2015. Yeah. Okay, and a British one.
Yep, British.
We do a British one. We don't do many British ones, really, do we?
No, that's why I sort of deliberately looked for a... I nearly said religious one then. I meant British one, I don't know.
Awesome. Okay. Episode 53 will be Paul's choice, and it will be the murder of Kaylee Haywood. And on that note, listeners, always remember to delete your Google history.